I've got a thought this morning that I want to try to bring forth for time. If you're here today and lost, don't know where you stand, I would just ask you to listen to these things today that it's on our heart. It's a very, very simple message that we're going to try to present today, and it's basically about the Word of God. I'm going to take a reading out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'll just start reading verse 1. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat at the whole, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. As we see here, Jesus was speaking to this multitude of people, and he was speaking to them in a parable. Now, a parable is nothing more than Jesus trying to relate something spiritual with an earthly thing. He was speaking of a man that was a sower, and I believe when you look at this and you think about a sower would be, as we think about the way that's written in this parable, it's someone that goes out to sow seeds in the field, that there'll be a crop grow up, whatever the seed might be, the particular seed that you might be sowing. But I believe he's trying to make reference here to anyone, a preacher or anyone that is going out and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Anyone that is going out in this world and telling this lost and dying world about Jesus and trying to proclaim the truth of the true way of salvation, I believe that is what he's having reference to. I believe he is having reference to himself, sowing the truth. And that these words that he was saying, the things that Jesus said through his gospel message and that the apostles said, this was the seed or the word that was being put upon their ears for them to hear and for them to understand. He just used this way of teaching so they might be able to relate spiritual things to earthly things, so they might be able to better understand. And the soil that he speaks about here has a big part to play in this, I believe. Granted, you need to have someone to present the truth to you. You need to need that word that's presented to you. You need it to be true for it to have an effect, and you need it to be about Christ and all that he did for us here upon this earth while he lived. But yet the soil was an important factor in what he wanted to talk about here when he was telling us about this. He was telling us about four different types of soil. He told us about the soil that was considered the wayside. We'll start with that. The soil that was considered by the wayside. Now you think about when you're out in a field and you think about, say, a farmer or whoever that's going out there to sow a field, in this particular time, I believe that they would have been out there sowing it by hand, and there was around most of our fields there's a border. The fields were bordered where you walk around and you turn around, and it's part of the field that you don't actually sow in, but it's part that you have to use to get to the field. So it's a path. We'll say it's a path or a road or a track. Now, I believe this is making reference to this first type of soil that's presented here. And I also want to make this statement before I go any further that, you know, in this field, as you look upon it, it's all basically the same type of soil. The dirt, the makeup of the soil is all the same. It's all dirt. It's all the same. But it depends on where the seed hits. What part of the soil does the seed hit, or the Word of God? Where does it hit, and where does it lay, and the effects that Word has as that sower is sowing it? As we think about this wayside, or this, I guess you would call it, actually, it would be hard packed down. It would be firm. It would be solid. Whereas, so when that seed hit it, it wouldn't penetrate. It wouldn't go down into the ground where it might be able to take root. But it would lay on top of the soil. And as it, I believe that the Lord demonstrates this, that, you know, the gospel message for this particular person, for this particular heart, for this particular soul, the gospel word, it never penetrates. It just lays there. It never penetrates down into the soil that it might take root and have an effect. This soil is that way because of the hardness of their heart. The Bible tells many times about where people harden their hearts and they refuse to hear. They don't want to hear. The Bible says they close their ears and they don't want to hear and they don't want to listen to what the truth actually is. So they harden their hearts that seed, that gospel seed, when it hits on that, it just lays there on top and it never penetrates and it never goes any further. You know, they have an unconcerned attitude. They could care less where the seed is. They can care less about what the seed, about what's said and the effects that it seems to have in other places. They could care less. They're indifferent to anything spiritual. There's an indifference in them, and almost in this person, or in this heart, or this ground that I'm speaking of, there's an indifference to anything that's spiritual. Many times they think it's foolish. There's no doubt that there's been those that have said in our services, and the Spirit of the Lord has come down upon our service, and you know that there may be somebody who had got happy and shouted. You know, they may be people that stands up and tears come from their eyes and they have big smiles on their face and they tell a wondrous testimony of the Lord saving their soul. These spiritual things, they're unconcerned about. They don't care about those things and all the things that weigh upon them. There's a lack of repentance. A lack of a sense of guilt and shame in their lives because they've never allowed that gospel seed to be planted in their heart. They've hardened their heart and they've closed their ears to the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. They've closed their eyes and their ears to the spiritual working of the Holy Spirit as He works within His people. That seed just lays on top of it. That word of God, it just lays on top of the ground. Never penetrating down into that Stony heart. Hardened heart. That it might have an effect. They ventilated themselves from. They ventilated their heart from the truth. From anything that might be right. They insulate themselves and they put up barriers. You know, it says, as we read on a little bit about these particular seeds, what happens to them? It says that the birds came along. The fowls of the air. And that the birds, they come along and they ate them. They picked them up. All of us know that birds love seeds, don't we? You know, and if a lot of people feed the birds seeds, they'll put them out in their little planters and stuff. You know, the birds come up there and eat them. And, you know, but if they're laying right out there on top of the ground, if they're not covered, if they're not hid from their eyes, then they're going to come down and they're going to pick them up and they're eating them. They're going to eat them and they're never going to have the opportunity to penetrate the ground to form a root and sprout and grow and produce. So the Bible teaches us here that these birds came along, or these fowls came and devoured them. Now, why would you think about that as far as much? I mean, the Bible tells us about, all the wiles of Satan. The Bible tells us that Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's just like those birds. He's just like those fowls, looking for those seeds of truth that's just laying there on top of the ground. He comes and he devours them up. How does he devour them up? He has all sorts of means of devouring. He uses, the Bible tells us about false prophets and false teachers that Satan has in this world. False men of God that tell the world lies about the true way of salvation. He uses them to blind the eyes and to make them think, possibly, that whatever they have is good enough. But yet they've never allowed the penetrating gospel to have an effect upon them. They've never repented. They've never felt remorse or repented for their sins. There's something wrong with the picture. The God of this world has blinded the minds that the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should have none effect. As we think about that, this ground and this field, we think about all the spiritual lies that goes on. You think about pride. You think about stubbornness, procrastination, the love of sin, all these different things that the devil uses to keep people from hearing the gospel message, to keep people from allowing that truth to penetrate into that stony heart. See, I believe that a person has a responsibility to be receptive to the gospel. I believe that the Lord give us the gospel message and presented it to us that we can tell this world about it. But I believe that the person that's going to be saved has a part to play in it. I believe that he has to be receptive and that they have to hear and they have to listen and they have to want to be saved and they have to seek a God that can save them. But if they allow that seed to just lay on top of the ground and Satan to come along and devour and snatch that seed away, they would never penetrate. They'll never be saved. If they continue to harden their heart, that it would have none effect upon them. You can go on to the next one. It tells us about the stony places. It says, some fell upon stony places which had not much earth. Now, most of us that's ever done any farming knows that, you're gonna be out there and there's going to be possibly a hard pan of rock right underneath the ground. There's going to be a little soil on top of it, but that big rock that's laying underneath the ground, it might not be visible to the eye. And you put that seed down there, and the root doesn't have anywhere to grow. And so the Bible tells us here, when you don't have any root, or when you don't grow, they sprang up, and because there was no deepness of earth, the sun came and they were scorched and they withered away. You think about this rocky soil. It reminded me as I studied about this. You think about, you know, we talk about quite often about easy believism, don't we? This religion, this quick response religion that is so prevalent in the world that we live in today, this name it, claim it, grab it, believe it type salvation, you know, raise your hand, sign a card, just get baptized, just whatever, something just real quick, just real fast, you know. You know, they spring up real fast. Oh, I want to be a part of the church. And to be quite honest with you, this day and age that we live in, it's kind of an end thing to be in the church. It's kind of an end thing. It really is. In a lot of different circles, in a lot of these big churches, at least big mega churches, you know, it's kind of an end thing just to be a member of the church. But what makes a difference is the soil. You know, if that word never brings about repentance and faith, I made the statement the other night, you know, if you've gained salvation without conviction and without the aid of the Holy Spirit drawing you to bring you to the point of understanding that you are a sinner, to show you that you're a sinner, if you've left the Holy Spirit of God out when it comes to being saved, then you've left God out of it and you're not saved. It's simple and it's plain. You know, all this signing a card and all these things that people do just to, I guess, want to be a part of a church or want to be a part of whatever. I know I made reference to this also the other night, but in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon his house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You know, Jesus Christ is, if you've been saved, is your foundation, is your rock. It's what you stand on. It's what you know in your heart. But all these other, I guess, quick response to the gospel message types of salvation, what foundation do they have? They don't have any foundation. And then the Bible says when the persecutions arise and when things of this world starts weighing down heavy on them, they wither away. When the sun comes up, they're scorched and they're withered away. That salvation don't last. They didn't ever have it to begin with. All they had was an outward look. They put on that front to make themselves look like a religious person. But they didn't have anything on the inside. The thorns. When you get down to the next one, the next type of soil. Now, mind you, all this soil was the same ground. I believe the Bible teaches us that each and every one of us that have been saved by God's grace were sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know it's been said, Brother Woodard said that the other night. He made reference to that, Romans 3:23. We're all sinners. And when we come to the understanding of our lost condition, our ground was all the same, wasn't it? We needed to hear the gospel. We needed to allow it to penetrate our heart. We needed to give in to the preaching of the truth.
We needed the working of the Holy Spirit to penetrate and to draw us and to put us into the condition that we need to be in that the Lord could save our souls.
This ground is just the same. These thorns that it speaks about here, this word, this seed that was sowed in the ground and the thorns that came up around it. Now, you know, I almost have two different thoughts on this one, but, you know, about sometimes those that actually are saved and the things of the world and the riches of the world takes them away from the church and draws them away from the things. But my focus today is upon anyone that might be lost. Those seeds that possibly have been sown, the things that you have heard, the things that you have allowed in, you've got to keep cultivating those things. You've got to keep listening. You've got to keep searching and keep praying to God for what you need to hear. And I believe that He'll send it. I believe with all my heart He'll allow you to have just the right seed or just the right word that will have the effect. But I believe that it's upon you to be seeking and searching for that. I believe that what it tells us about these thorns, that as these seeds were sown, there was also thorns, seeds that was there. And those thorns grew up and they smothered out these seeds. They blocked the sun from shining on them. I believe there's a lot of outside influences in this world that weigh upon maybe somebody coming in. You know, I guess a good example, you know, that we've had a lot of first-time visitors this week. People that may have come in and heard the gospel message for the first time in their life. And whether they'll ever come back and hear it again, we don't know. But we know this for sure, if they walk out into this world, that those thorns and the things of this world will encompass them. It will smother them out. It will not allow the glorious light of the gospel to shine down upon them that they may grow. It will not allow that river of water that quenches the thirst of the soul to get to them and to moisturize the roots and let them be saved and grow in the Lord. It won't happen because they're smothered out with all these weeds and all these big thorn bushes. Because the world will smother them out. The things of the world will just take them away. It'll take their mind and their thoughts and their priorities. You know, you think about all the people in the world that are their main goal in life is to make another dollar. Got a world of people that are walking around here today. I just want to make another dollar. Work another day. Make another dollar. It's all about money. It's all about riches. It's all about me. We live in a world also today that it's that all about me attitude. I, me, mine. It's what I want to do. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what that preacher says. It's an I-me attitude world that we live in. I'm going to take care of number one. Everybody else can fend for themselves. Well, that don't work either. That don't work either. The Bible tells us about there's a rich young ruler. And most of us know this parable where he teaches us about a man that he wanted to be saved. Jesus told him to all these things that he had to do, you know. Have you honored your mother and father? Have you lived the commandments? Have you done? You know. He said, "Yes, I've been perfect all my life. I've done all these things from my youth up." And the Lord knew his heart as he looked down into his heart, as he looked down into that ground or that soil of that heart where that seed was being sown. He looked down in there and he said, "Sell all that thou hast and come and follow me." And he couldn't do it. He wouldn't give up all the things of the world. He hardened his heart. He turned away from the truth. He turned away from Jesus. These people, many times, they turn away from Jesus and they the message of truth. And it's just to help them. We just want them to be saved. I may be harsh or sound rough when I stand up here and preach sometimes and talk about things. But I love you and I want you to be saved. I just want to know that you've been saved. That's what I care about. In 1 John 2, 15 and 16 it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world." These things that we think about. Now we get down to the last man. Or I guess the ground. That ground that was the good ground is what it's called here. We get down to that person that the gospel message has reached. You know, that soil had been prepared. It had been cultivated. It had been loosened up. The gospel message had penetrated. It had got down there and it had taken root. And it had had its effects. It's important that, you know, you allow the message to penetrate your heart. If you harden your heart and you refuse to listen or to allow anything to ever affect you, and you can do that. I believe this is a teaching that teaches that. I believe there was also another teaching over where the Apostle Paul was talking to a man about a soul, and you know, and he told us, he told Paul that thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me. You almost had me convinced that what you were saying was true and right. But he turned his back from the truth. I believe that if you want to, you can turn your back on the truth. And I believe that we serve a God that loves everybody, that wants to save everybody, but He gives everybody that walks on this earth a choice to choose Him or everything else or anything else. He gives you a choice. He wants your heart receptive to Him. He wants you to listen to His Word, to His truth, that it would penetrate and have an effect. He wants you to open your eyes and see the things around you, the spiritualness of those that He has saved, and hear the testimonies of those that have been saved. He wants these things to have an effect upon you. It was loose and it was prepared. Godly sorrow had worked in there. It worked it right down into there. Holy Spirit of God has worked that just the way that it needs to be for that seed to grow. We can turn over into the 16th chapter of the book of John. It tells us a little bit about how the Holy Spirit works. You know, you got to when you got a garden, you got to work it, don't you? When you got soil and you're trying to grow something, you got to work it. Says in the 16th chapter and the 7th verse, it said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove this world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." He's going to reprove this world. He's going to convict or convince this world of their sins. There's no doubt. If you will allow the Word to penetrate your heart, that the Holy Spirit of God will do His part. He'll do His part. He always has and He always will until the end of time. He will penetrate that heart. He will convict it and convince it that it's a sinner in the eyes of God, and that they need to repent. That they need to repent and believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. The Holy Spirit will show you that. It says, if you read on further, that it always the Holy Spirit always points to Christ. It always points to Jesus, the one that you need to look to. It's important that we understand these things today. If you're here and lost, I don't know what category you might be in. I hope you listened today. I hope you have opened up your ears and listened, that you might choose what category that you're in and that you might make corrections on that. That you might turn away from the untruths and turn to the truth. That you might turn to Jesus and seek Him for salvation, that you might be saved. That's my message today. Brother Bert, I do want to have a song of invitation. If there's anyone here today lost, don't let nothing stand in your way. If you know your condition, if you know your heart's condition is not right before God, prepare your soul that it can be. Prepare it. Allow the truth to penetrate. Allow it to come in. And I promise you, when you do, that you're going to know just exactly what all of us sing about in these songs. And that what we tell about in our testimonies and what we know in our hearts, it'll become a real fact in your life.
Turn to page number 129. Don't you want to go to that happy home on high, where the good shall be? Yes, need to part no more, and shall live and reign far above the starry sky in that sunny climb.
Bid you come.